The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Wowzers! It's Fantastical Friday, just like it will be next Friday, too. And we go where no David Spoon experience has gone before. First up, have you ever experienced an I've been there before moment? We will explore it. Next, we acknowledge that some things the Lord teaches are hard, but he always has our best interests in mind. And finally, we examine the two activities that God calls us to because there is no other option.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey there. How you doing? I'm doing good. We're asking you, what do you think? Give us a... That was me having a conversation with myself, in case you had not figured that out. If you have something you want to share, 972-445-0770. That's the phone number that you can call. That's the big buttons there on your phone. Or you can text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. You can do it to a trivia question. You can do a praise report. You can do a prayer request. We get them all. We respond to them all. We don't always put them on the air. So somebody might text me about a prayer request. If it's private, we keep it private. I mean, that's kind of how we go. Okay? All right? Here is the first trivia question that I'm going to ask you. How does Judas notify the Roman soldiers, the Roman officials, of Jesus' identity? What did Judas do that gave identification to Jesus before they arrested him? You can call 972-445-0770, or you can text, as you know, to 214-210-8483. As soon as I get my phone up, there it is. There it goes. There it is. Okay. Keep in mind, of course, that any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Couple things I want to tell you about today's show. Going to be a little bit different of a show, which is normal for us because we always do a different kind of show. We're not going to have time for our ministry partner, Reed, so we're just going to give a salute to Mr. Restore for any kind of fire, water, smoke, wind, flood, damage, cleanup. To Kimberly Ellis for any kind of real estate needs you might have because she works with Fathom Realty. And for Men of God Moving, to our good friend Johnny Hill for any moving needs you might have. If you want to reach them, you can go to our website at hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. A quick reminder of what our DNA is. What's our D? Draw closer to the Lord. D, N, never be ashamed. A, always be ready. Always. How often? Always be ready. DNA, the DNA of a Christian. The trivia question on board, how did Judas notify the Roman officials of Jesus' identity? You can call in or you can text 214-210-8483. I've just got so much material to get to. We're just going right for it. So Tierra will get to do some sounds, but it probably won't be as soundy as we want. But we'll do the best we can. Here it is. Let me ask, I should do a little bit of history because I did find this out. Somebody told me this. It's Donut Day. Did you know it's Donut Day?
No, but I should have got some donuts.
And if you get to Dunkin' Donuts, you can get a free donut. I'm just got that. I mean, that's pretty good. That's not bad. It's Hot Air Balloon Day, National Attitude Day. Well, you know what? Everybody got one of those. It doesn't look like that's ever going to change. And then National Gingerbread Day. And then the only other things I wanted to say is on this day in 1949, first person on the FBI 10 Most Wanted list. That's where they created that list, that 10 Most Wanted list. Oh, amazing stuff. Number two, 1967, the Six-Day War began between Israel and Egypt, Jordan, and Syria. Do you know how long the Six-Day War lasted?
6 days?
Bingo! All right, good job there. And then also, unfortunately, on this day, 2004, was when President Ronald Reagan passed away. So we want to give acknowledgement to that. Let's get right into the teach because our time is tight. Ever heard the word deja vu? Did you ever see the movie The Matrix? These are all these things that I could kind of throw together. Deja vu is a French word for already seen. Already seen. In psychology... Now, notice what I just said. In psychology, so you're talking about Jung and Freud and, you know, all the other people. In psychology, it's the illusion of having a previous experience. But God also has a say about what we would see about previous having a previous experience before it happened. And God has a different phrase for it. It's called prophetic communication. And for those that are Baptist, Pentecostal, Methodist, Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Charismatic, it kind of doesn't matter. Every one of these groups, at some point, you have had some exchange with God where something happened and it was a bit beyond the norm, even for you, even if you're amongst those that are often called the frozen chosen. Okay, even every once in a while, somebody has something happen and they're just like going, wowzer. Okay, I want to say something about communications that God gives about the future, and then we're going to kind of lead into this. And then in the next segment, I'm going to do something I've never done before, so you better get ready. First and foremost, I want you to understand something about prophetic communication from God. Some prophetic communication is conditional. Now, what does that mean? This is what it says in Jeremiah 18, 7 through 8. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster that I had planned. That's a conditional prophetic utterance that's coming forth, a conditional prophetic communication. That's the same thing that happened to Jonah when he said, if you don't repent in Nineveh, if you don't repent, you're all going to be turned into frogs. Oh, okay, it wasn't frogs, but I think you get the idea. And what happened? They repented, and so that did not come about. That's conditional. The other one is non-conditional. What's a non-conditional prophetic communication? The return of Jesus Christ is not conditioned on man. Somebody's calling in with an answer for the trivia question. Hang on. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Rand.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Excellent.
I'm so glad to hear that. All right, my friend. This is a good trivia question. It's a really solid one. How does Judas notify the Roman officials of Jesus' identity?
He gave him a kiss.
That is correct, sir. You are right. Excellent job, sir. Excellent. Very, very good, my friend. You got it on target, and I appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
All right, you take care. You have a fantastic weekend.
Stay cool.
Okay, God bless.
Bless you.
All right. So, great answer, by the way. Good job. The reason I'm bringing this up is because sometimes God will communicate something that's going to happen, and it's conditional. And so here, just a perfect example. He says right through Jeremiah, I might announce I'm going to wipe you guys out, but if you repent, then I won't. That's a condition. Okay, got it. Let's talk about the other non-conditional just for a second. Luke 21, 25 through 28. There will be signs in the sun and moon and stars on the earth. Nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming to the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaking. And at that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and glory. Not conditional. That's happening. No matter what happens, no matter what mankind does, the return of Jesus Christ is non-conditional, and it's a prophetic utterance. It's something that God communicates that's going to happen in the future. I'm taking a breath. All right. So God communicates to you and I from time to time in really cool, bizarre, and unique ways. Does that mean that every time something weird happens, it's the Lord? No. I've been a Christian for almost 42 years. I've probably had 15 encounters that would be life-altering, maybe 20 that would really be life-altering. But that's over 42 years. That's one every 2 years, right? That's not one every hour. But it's important for you and I to kind of be, not open up to anything weird, just be aware that God might want to communicate with us. What's one of the big ways that God communicates with you and I? Because we are so hard of hearing. Job 33, verses 14 through 15. For God speaks in one way and in two, though man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men and they slumber on their beds. One of the ways that God communicates to you and I is through dreams. Why that's important? A, not every dream is obviously from the Lord. B, if you had too much Taco Bell, I promise you, you can have a really strange dream because of all the salsa you had or all the hot sauce you had. But there are times, and it's throughout Scripture, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, where God will speak to people in dreams, and he will share with them things that are forthcoming. They don't even always understand it, but it happens. And when we come back, I'm going to do something I've never done before in this show. I'm going to share a dream I've rarely talked about, and I'm going to read it out of the book that I wrote. So now you know it's, well, that's never happened on the show. And we're going to just talk about it and understand what its purpose was without getting goofy about it and just following the Lord in it. Okay? Okay. Great job by our caller who said, yep, he was betrayed by a kiss. That's exactly correct. We just want to let you know we're going to take a short break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
What's happening is the churches and educators and our government and everybody is too concerned about being politically correct. And what's happened is the walls have fallen down, and we need to rebuild them, and we need to build them back. And the only way we can do that is with God's people taking a stand.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I will say, especially in regards to the political correctness, it's just man's attempt to establish their own righteousness apart from God. And that's why it has so much confusion attached to it that nobody can figure out what's going on, because it goes all over the place.
Well, the only hope for America is not the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. My hope is in God and his people taking a stand this coming election season. And let's get men and women in office. And again, I'm not telling people to vote for. but we need to take a stand for God's truth and his righteousness.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I just want to thank you and extend a thank you to you for taking the time to come on the show, sharing with us, giving us that perspective. I appreciate it, and it was a privilege and an honor for me to have you on the show, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me. God bless.
All right. God bless you, too. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Pastor Franklin Graham.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We do want to let you know, if you want to reach out to us, you're welcome to do so. The text number 214-210-8483. It's 214-210-8483. And the call number is 972-445-0770. I'm going to give you a chance to get to the trivia, but I'm going to wait to give you the trivia a little bit, like more towards the end of the segment, and then you'll have a chance to either text in or call in. We'll get to that in a second. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. There is multiple things on there, video, audio. There's my testimony. There's me being interviewed on a radio show. There's lots of pictures, and there is a sinner's prayer, what I consider to be a simplistic sinner's prayer. And in addition, there's an opportunity to give. If you are so inclined, we would be blessed by that and think that's great. And it doesn't matter what the amount is. I don't care. I mean, people don't recognize it. But to me, somebody who gives and gives $10 and then somebody gives $100 and it's that sacrificial, genuine giving, either way, that is just fantastic in the kingdom. But also that you may be blessed. And if you can't give, that the Lord blesses you and maybe helps you and puts you in a position where you can give. Or, and not just to us, by the way, or that you just participate and partner through prayer. I mean, that would be super fantastic. I think there's a super fantastic fragilistic, something like that, right? I can't even say it. What is that?
Super califragilistic expialidocious.
Thank you. that's why I don't do this alone. Email david@hemustincrease.org, david@hemustincrease.org. I will tell you, on Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry, and you can also go to David Spoon Ministry. I put up a picture today. The other day I was in here, Tierra was here, and I had my my mask on, my safety mask, and I put it on top of my head. Well, I put it on top of my head and took a selfie and put it on my Facebook. I know, it's so funny. You should see it. And then YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. That's right. I have problems. Leave me alone. Here we go. So many of you have heard the original story that I gave in regards to my testimony. And one of the portions of this story has to do with me going to Colorado. And in the midst of going to Colorado, we were from California driving to Colorado, stopped off at Gunnison in Colorado. The preacher, we'd never met him before. We'd stopped off an Assembly of God service on a Wednesday night. He was preaching, he's preaching. I'm sitting there worrying that I've offended God and that God's going to get mad at me because, you know, I walked away from a church situation, just didn't want to get involved in the big, not just the church split, but the whole way it was going. It was very controlling Jim Jones's kind of church. And so while I'm sitting there in the middle of the service, he stops preaching, looks right at me, points at me. There's 200, 300 people, and he points right at me. He says, "Young man, God wants me to tell you right now, you will preach again." And then he goes right back to his sermon and just keeps going and going and going. And I'm like going, what just happened? It was like surreal, right? Okay, so you've heard me talk about that. And then you've heard me talk about later on how I met with a pastor and shared my story. And you've heard it in the clips where I says the guy's a good crier. He cries. I don't know what a good crier is, but I told him my whole story. And he starts weeping and says, this is how the Lord felt for you. What I didn't tell you is what led up to that. And this is the first time I'm doing it. And I'm going to read it right out of the book. So just listen. Just pay attention. This is really kind of important stuff. By the way, you can't get this book anymore. I can always send you a PDF, but you can't get the book because it's out of print. Here's what it says. I began to try and go to work for magazines selling advertising spots. Things weren't going too well until God decided to help me to find a church with a pastor so that I can get things off my chest. It was a dramatic experience which led me to the heart of God. It was as I was driving down the road, it seemed as though the Holy Spirit flooded my car. In a moment, my car was filled with praises, tears, and crying out. At the next millisecond, I was reminded of a dream that I had had almost 5 years earlier. In that dream, I was driving down the exact road that I was zooming on at the moment. The Lord was telling me that he knew I would be here at this moment and that he had prepared help for me before I had ever arrived. I knew God was intensely at work, so I tried to stop at the nearest church. Once I arrived, I found that the pastor was in. I asked him if I could share my heart and heaviness with him. He politely agreed. I told him everything I can think of from start to finish about my whole church experience, about my salvation, absolutely everything. I felt like it took hours. It didn't. It was only about 45 minutes. He seemed to hang on every word, and when I was done, I smiled and asked him what he thought, and then he started to cry. You've heard me talk about that I encountered this pastor, and through encountering this pastor, I was literally reintroduced to the Jesus wept principle. But what you don't hear me talk about often is that what happened before I met that pastor is I was driving down this road, and as I'm driving down this road, it was almost like a time warp. That's all I can tell you. And I knew without any shadow of a doubt, zero doubt. Now, you're talking about me. I've already made my decision for Christ. I've already abandoned the family fortune. I'm already moving in Christ. I'm in the kingdom. I'm not getting out. I'm going forward. And in that moment, I knew that I had had a dream about driving down this road years earlier, the exact same road. It was so exact that I knew that there was a turnaround coming up in about a half a mile so I can go back into the city and find a church. And sure enough, exactly like it was in the dream, there was a turnoff. I was able to turn left, turn around a parking lot, come back over, and go back. And that's when I went and met with that pastor. The reason that I bring that up is to tell you that sometimes God communicates with you in these extraordinary ways. The reason that he's communicating with you is not because he's trying to show off. He's not trying to say that you're spiritual or super unspiritual. He's trying to help. And from time to time, he permits those kind of activities in our lives. You know, people say, well, they should happen all the time. No, they shouldn't happen all the time. If they happened all the time, they would never be special. They would never be unique. But what I'm trying to communicate with you is there are times where the Lord will show you something, will teach you something, and then in order for you to get it or to understand it or to seize it or to grasp it, he reinforces it before it takes place so that when it happens, you go, oh my goodness, this is God. And if you think that's foreign to Scripture, keep in mind what Jesus said. I have told you these things ahead of time so that when they happen, you may believe. And that's what happened to me. See, Jesus forewarned us so that when it happened, we'd go, oh, that's what he's talking about. And then we get that he forewarned us and kind of prepared it instead of trying to interpret or figure it all out. It's like when it happens, you go, I get it. But that's what happened to me. And the Lord spoke that way. And it wasn't that I was highly spiritual. That's not what's going on at all. It's that I was crying out to God for help because I was so frustrated in my walk, in my position, in my place. I didn't understand what God wanted to do. And if you've ever gotten to that place where you're like, I'm desperate for the Lord, it's not as though the Lord doesn't know. And here was the thing that God really, over time, it probably took me years to really sink into this and to really get the fullness of this. God prepared the path for me before I went on it to bring me help exactly when I would need it. He laid the groundwork. He knew what was coming. He knew it was going to be hard. Just to let you know how bad that church was, I had to put my family on a plane at 12:35 a.m. out of Phoenix Harbor Airport, Sky Harbor Airport, to escape for our safety. Just to give you an idea, right? Sounded a little bit Jim Jones-ish, isn't it? Sounded a little bit like David Koresh-ish, right? Okay. And so the idea is that God preparing the way, planning out before me so that when I get there and that encounter takes place and I recognize I've been down this path, it's the Lord going, I know the path you're on. I know where it's going. And I don't want you to get the wrong idea. This whole experience led to a tremendous amount of sanctification, a tremendous amount of pain and growth and so on and so forth. But it was part of the plan. And at some point, even though you don't get it, you do have to surrender to it. And the Lord was laying groundwork for me. And so he, in a sense, put this dream, maybe it was a vision, I'm pretty sure it was a dream, I'm just going to go with that, that I saw I knew exactly where this turnover was going to be, where I could make a left turn around, go back into Silverthorne, because we were in Dillon, and this church was in Silverthorne. I knew exactly where it was before I got there. And then I met with that pastor, and I'm telling you right now, it was that moment that God fulfilled, I think, what that preacher told me in Gunnison, and using that dream and having that pastor listen to me. He had the whole thing set up perfectly. I won't even bother to tell you the pastor said he's not normally there when I got there. That doesn't matter. What matters is God knew the pathway. And he prepared the way for me, just like he promises to bring springs in the desert for you. Same thing. Because he's faithful and he's true. Isn't that wild? It's wild stuff. Okay, here's our trivia question. Then we're going to come back with our next little segment. Who was the first murder victim in the Bible? If you think you know, you can text us, 214-210-8483. You can call in. You'd have to be on hold for a couple minutes, or you can call in a few minutes, 972-445-0770. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Jesus' longest sermon that's recorded is Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, which takes about 25 to 30 minutes long. It takes about 30 minutes to read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So here's a lesson for pastors and preachers everywhere. Jesus said everything he wanted to say on the Sermon on the Mount in 30 minutes. Paul took 12 hours. God didn't record a single word.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry.
What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. And we have somebody who's called in to answer the trivia question. And the trivia question was, who was the first victim, who was the first murder victim? I want to grab that right now. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, this is Deborah from Dallas.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for asking
awesome.
Me. Okay, so we have a murder victim in the beginning of the book, beginning of the whole Bible, which I think caught some people maybe by surprise because it kind of goes right into the depth of it. Who was that first murder victim?
Would it be Abel?
That is correct. It was Abel.
All right.
Excellent job. Excellent job. Now, it's an amazing thing, and I'll just say this real. I'm going to take the moment just to share on this. So if you read in the New Testament, you find out that Abel's blood cried out for justice and for a righteousness. But it's funny because in the scriptures it says that Jesus' blood cries out something different than Abel's blood. Jesus' blood cries out forgiveness. Isn't that great?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I love stuff like that. I just think that's the coolest stuff ever. Excellent job.
No doubt.
Excellent job answering, and I appreciate you hanging on. That was great, great, great of you. Really nice of you to do.
Thank you, and God bless y'all.
Thank you. All right, bye-bye. Excellent.
Bye-bye.
Yay. See, that worked out fine. If you guys are willing to wait on the line, or I got the texts in, so the people that all texted, that was right. Everybody got that right, but good job. Good job. And I like that thing about the blood. That's, you know, because one cries out, you know, for vengeance and revenge and justification, and then the other one's crying out for mercy and forgiveness. And it's like, wow, that's cool. All right, I want to continue with this because this is a really, to me, personal stuff. I'm sharing with you guys as much as I can, but I don't want you to get the wrong idea. And this is really important. We'll cover the other stuff later. Hey, you know the website. You know the number to call in, 214-210-8483. 972-445-0770. Website, hemustincrease.org. Done. Okay. So bottom line is, I don't want you to get this impression from listening to what I'm saying that I'm trying to glorify dreams somehow over the Word of God. That is absurdity. Okay? The main form of communication, the primary form, the 95 percentile form that God communicates to us, okay, 90 percentile is through the Word of God. He wrote the Word. If you want to know what the voice of God sounds like, then you should read the Word of God, and you'll know what God sounds like by reading His Word, and then when He speaks, you'll know it's Him. Okay? And besides that, you also have the witness of the Holy Spirit, and so on. We're not taking away from that, and I do not want to detract from that. Okay, and never do I, because I am a Bible guy. I mean, that's my whole passion and pursuit. Not just a master's in theological study, but a PhD in biblical expositions. Very important. But I want you to also walk with me in understanding there are times where God communicates to us and talks to us in these special ways. Now, he uses circumstances, and he uses other people, and he uses different things throughout your lifetime. He might use a fantastic sermon through a preacher that answers something directly. Have you ever been in church, and then the preacher preaches, and you were like going, I was just wondering about this. And it's like, you think that's a coincidence? I mean, there's no way. That's like God going, hey, watch this. Only he probably does 50 people at once or 500 people at once, or if it's a big church, 5,000 people at once. I mean, this, you know, you're talking about God. He's not limited. But there are times where the Lord will communicate with you on a personal level. If you really get into Scripture, you can find out that sometimes being more silent before the Lord gives you a better ability to hear the Lord. People are not aware of that, but that be still and know that I am God thing still applies, Psalm 46, verse 10. But today we're just talking about dreams, and the reason I want to bring that up is because not all the dreams that God gives you or not all the dreams that you come up with are always, super positive popcorn, cotton candy kind of dreams. The dream that I had in the last time I talked about was just simply me being there, God showing that was the pathway. I've had another dream from the Lord where he rebuked me. And you think, well, what do you mean? How does God rebuke you? He doesn't come in and actually physically hit you with a 2x4, though many times it feels that way. But I had a dream one time, and I'm just sharing it with you so you can understand. Then I'm going to tell you one that Noel had, and you'll see how they work together. And I was in this, there was a farmhouse, and my brother was on a rocking chair in the farmhouse in the front. He's rocking back and forth, and we decided to wrestle. Now, in my family growing up, because we were in Detroit, big time wrestling was like the biggest thing in the world. And, you know, it's like part of our fun. Our family even went to wrestling matches. I mean, it was like, you know, we loved it. All right. So we're wrestling. And, you know, normally he'd get the best of me, but I was winning this time. And it's like, ah, ha. And I was even in the dream going, ah, ha, 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 you know, kind of thing. And then there was a hand behind me and somebody was pushing me to the ground. And I'm like, no, I'm not getting off him and I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. And the hand kept pushing. And there was no chance I was going to prevail. It's like, you know, it's like in the dream, you're like going, this is going bad. This is going bad. And then a voice spoke and said, submit, submit. And I'm like, no. And then I'm all the way on the ground with my face in the dirt. When I go, okay, I'll submit. I'm coming half out of my mouth. Okay, I'll submit. Fine. And then the hand pulls away. I turn around. I whip around, and there's nobody there. And in the dream, I immediately know it's the Lord. And you think, well, what is that? That's God's nice way of saying to David, you are full of so much arrogance and pride. Not just general arrogance and pride. So much. You're going to have to surrender. You're going to have to submit. You're going to have to yield to me. Because otherwise, you're going to end up on the ground. Like, oh, ow. And you think, well, that's awesome that God taught you. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you that the feeling out of that dream was awesomeness. That would be a lie. The feeling out of that dream is, man, I am a long way away from where I need to be, and I am seeing that from the hand of God. And see, those kind of instructions, though, those kind of things, they help us process everything that God is doing. I don't think these happen all the time, and I can't stress that enough, but I think they happen. And I think that if you've had a dream from the Lord and it's pivotal to making your kingdom walk enhanced, then I would probably say it's likely from the Lord. If your dream draws you closer to the Lord and from it something takes place and you grow, then he talked to you that way. He's not going to talk to you that way every day, but the whole point of me bringing this up is for all of us to get a better handle on processing through, moving forward, going forward, no matter what it is, and whether the Lord gives you a rebuke or he gives you a knowledge that you are protected, or he gives you another avenue where he's communicating that you need to have something more active in your faith, or he's telling you that you need to have bigger vision or greater hope. He's not doing any of those things to hurt us. Everything God did, even that dream for me to submit, was for my best interests, because he always has my best interests in mind. Sometimes, though, I am so deaf that I cannot hear, which is why that Job 33 verse, for God speaks in one way and in two, and though man does not perceive it, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men while they slumber on their beds, and the Lord gives us warnings and teaches us and guides, it's part of the process. And we should have an active enough relationship with God that we think that's just awesome. No, it's not as authoritative as the Word of God, but yes, it's important. It's important to understand. I mean, my wife's had, I'm going to tell you, in the last 15 years of her sharing things about dreams, there's only one, I'm not talking about 20 or 25 years ago, but I'm talking about in the last 15 years, since we've been kind of on this more evangelistical and ministry encouraging to the church journey, she's had one dream. One dream in 15 years. I mean, that's very, and the whole dream was about her and I keeping our hands up, trying to not be crushed by this big metal piece because we thought it was going to crush us, and it turned out that it wasn't crush us. It was there to mold us, and we were resisting. Now, how do you feel? How do you think I felt when she told me that dream? And she said, I'm pretty sure that was from the Lord. Like, what? You never say that. That was from the Lord? Maybe we're resisting. And I could tell you that somebody who's on my board, Aunt Deb, who listens to the show, she could tell you, yeah, they went through quite a trial. For a while, I was like, yeah. That's what happens when you kick against the pricks. That's what happens when you rebel against God, or that's what happens when you fight against. Remember Jesus said to Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. It's just really difficult, because what are pricks? They're sticks that with points that you use to move the animals in the direction you're trying to get them. Try kicking one. Ow! How'd you like to have a javelin underneath your toe? Ow! That would hurt, right? Right. Got to stop that. That's not the way to go about things. All right. So the reason that I bring that up is to encourage you, not to discourage you. And if your person's like, well, I never have dreams, that's okay. But that doesn't mean that you never will have a dream. You just don't know. But if the Lord gives them, great. It has to flush out with the Word, no matter what happens. I mean, I don't care what anybody ever tells you. I mean, somebody has a prophetic dream and it doesn't happen, you know, and it's like, that's not the Lord. You just be wise enough to know that anything God gives you by communication is to enable you to draw closer to him and into his kingdom, period. That's the goal. It's not to give you the lotto numbers, okay? All right, we're going to take a short break, come back. We have a final segment. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Do you know how you keep going? Do you know how you keep putting one foot in front of the other? Do you know how you don't give up? Do you know how you don't quit even though you want to quit? You fix your eyes on Jesus. You see with God. When Peter went out of that boat and stepped on that water, there is no natural principle in the world, in any normal universe, that would allow Peter to walk on water. But he did one thing well. He looked at Jesus. And as he was looking at Jesus, the Bible says he walked on the water. He looked at his situation, just focusing at Jesus. Then he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he saw the winds and the waves, and he sank. He lost the correct attitude when he stopped seeing with Jesus in the picture. Whatever you see, whatever you face, whatever you encounter, do not see it or face it in the natural. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So everything you see, you must insert the picture of Jesus.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We do want to let you know, if you want to reach us, 214-210-8483 is the text. And the phone number, 972-445-0770. Here's the next trivia question. Uh-oh. Get ready. Oh, it's the next trivia question. Get ready. All right. Even though he promised Jesus he would die for him, what did Peter do right after Jesus was arrested? Even though he promised he would die for him, what did Peter do after Jesus was arrested? 214-210-8483. We have been talking about instruction from the Lord. I've been sharing a couple of things that have happened in my life. Nothing in my life is authoritative to the level where anybody can put that up against the Word of God. The Word of God is the plumb line, the 66 books between Genesis 1-1 and Revelation 22-21, period. Okay? So end of conversation. Okay? And we're going to go and look at how to follow up on all that. Again, for those that want to know, what is it that our old friend Pete, you might not like this. I think it's rather funny, but I think of Peter, James, and John as Larry, Moe, and Curly. That's me. That's how I do it. What, even though he promised Jesus he would die for him, what did Peter do when Jesus was arrested? Not his finest moment. Let's say that. 214-210-8483. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. David@hemustincrease.org is the email. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. And YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Let me read you this passage, and this is the way we will close it out. I'm going to share one more dream, so just get ready. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we live by faith, and not by sight. For we live by faith and not by sight. You cannot live your Christian walk. So funny that last clip that we just played before we came back into the show was about keeping your vision on Jesus, keeping your focus on Jesus. I don't plan those clips. I mean, Terry, I can tell you, I think it's Jennifer that sets all of those clips up. I never know what's coming. I don't have any idea. We just have a pool, and she pulls from them. And it's just right along lines of exactly what that last clip was, which I think is fascinating. And that is, we live by faith and not by sight. You live by what you can believe. You can't process everything just by what you see. Abraham looked at his circumstances and looked past those circumstances and inserted faith as he was looking. And I'll give you an idea. I think one of the greatest examples ever. I'm just going to give you two passages out of Genesis 5 and 1 out of 5 and 1 out of 7. It says, after, this is Genesis 5:32, after Noah was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Okay? It's 500. How old is he? 500. How old? 500. This is Genesis 7, 5 through 6. And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him, and Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came on the earth. So somewhere between having the kids and somewhere between building the ark is about 100 years. There's not a ton of communication between him having the kids and him building the ark. There's some, but it's very limited. But guess what Noah did? He built it anyway. He kept going. He didn't quit. He kept on walking by faith. He didn't walk by sight. He moved it forward. Galatians 6:9, let's not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So we're promised that we're going to get there, but we can't quit in the middle of the journey. It's kind of like I guess it's like any race. I guess I would use bike race as the first thing that comes to my mind. It's like doing a bike race that's 20 miles, and you go 10 miles, and you stop and get off your bike, and then you go and you sit down and have a Starbucks or something. Guess what you didn't do? Finish the race. That's what you didn't do. So when I first started off in my Christianity, and I've shared this before, the very first 6 months of my Christianity were very carnal. I didn't say kernel. I said carnal. I mean, they were really bad. The night I said yes to Jesus, I went out and was using. That night. You think, well, you weren't saved. Yes, I was. I absolutely believed in Jesus, and it just took God the time working in my life to get me to the place where I could let it all go. But he was working on me from that. He was working on me before, obviously, but he was working on me on that moment, working from that moment on actively. They gave me a Good News Bible. I read that Good News Bible, including that night, every night. Every single night, no matter what I did. And that's what started to really make an impact on me. This was the first time the Lord gave me something that happened that was supernatural. I asked the Lord, I said, man, I don't know about all this. Am I going to make it? I went to bed and I had a dream. So you might not like it, but this is what happened. And in that dream, I was in a throne room. And there was this, I think it was 18 to 20 inches TV, and it was like 20 or 30 feet long, but only about so many inches high. So it was like thin, but all the way across. And there was this king who had a crown on his head and had his arm around my shoulder, and he was pointing out different things in my life, and they were actual things in my life. And he said, this is where you did this, and this is where you did this. This is how specific this dream was. 41 years ago, by the way. This is, you did this, you did this. He goes, and you did this, and this was bad. I've always thought, that was a really bad thing. It's just really bad. It's all I can say. And he goes, but here's where you accepted my son, Jesus Christ, and that's why you're here. You think that had an impact on my life? It changed me. It gave me a confidence that God wouldn't give up on me when everybody else had already given up on me, including my family. And then I went from this radical drug guy to this radical Jesus guy, and they were more mad because now I wasn't doing drugs. Now I was promoting the gospel. And being Jewish, that didn't go over very well. But I was honest with God. I still try to be. There's times where I know, I prayed today and I said something and I go, I know that's wrong. This is wrong. Because you know when you're being honest. You know when it's not. And it's not that I'm trying to be irreverent. I just know when it's wrong. I mean, come on. It's like, what was the motive behind that prayer right there? That thing, Dave, was for Dave. All for Davey. It's like, see, that's the problem. But I want you to know, if you're listening right now and you've just never made that commitment, I want you to say a prayer with me and make that commitment and change your life, and you will see the power of God change you, and you will never be the same. You will have God actively working in all elements of your life in ways you never were aware of before. If you're listening and you've never said this prayer or made a decision to acknowledge Jesus Christ, to accept the testimony God has given, pray this prayer. Say amen to this prayer and you'll be there. Say, Heavenly Father, I am sorry for my sin. I surrender my life to you. Lord Jesus Christ, I receive you in my heart by faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit into my life, for I believe that you rose from the dead, and I confess that with my mouth. You died for my sins, and you were buried, and 3 days later, you rose again, according to the Scriptures. Please forgive me. I thank you for this new life you've given me. I praise you, and I pray this in your name. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a Christian. For you have repented, you have accepted, you have acknowledged, you have received by faith what God has granted you by grace to be received by faith. And you'll have a new life. And if you're a believer and you haven't just even thought of that prayer for a long time, you still say amen. We should say amen every time that prayer is prayed, because it's so critical to our connection with the Lord. Let me pray. I'm going to just pray for the audience real fast, okay? I got 1 minute left, and we'll just pray real fast. Heavenly Father, I ask you right now to touch the people that are in our audience that are listening in whatever vehicle they're listening, whatever format they're listening. Just ask you that you would impress upon them your commitment to them, your devotion to them, and how you've arranged things in their lives for their well-being, and how your desire is for their best interests, and how your work is to bring them closer to you so that they can spend eternity with you and you with they. You love them, you like them, you want them, but they need the coverage that comes from Jesus Christ, your Son. Let them say yes every single day, and may their walk be fresh and full of the grace and mercy you pour out and full of the love that you commit to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, folks. You have been listening to the David Spoon Experience, right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 71-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.